Have any of you ever heard of writer and faith leader Sarah Miles? Anybody? A couple? All right. Well, she, for those of you who haven't heard of her, she wrote a book called Take This Bread, which tells the story of how she came to Christian faith through a shocking experience. Sarah Miles grew up in what she calls a secular home. She didn't grow up going to church. Her parents were never really interested or exposed her to religion. In her early adult years, she worked as a war reporter and a cook, having a deep passion for food since her childhood. In the 1980s, purely out of curiosity, she attended a local Episcopal service in San Francisco. She doesn't remember much that was notable about the service, except something that happened to her towards the end. All of a sudden, the other people there in the sanctuary gathered around a table in the middle of the room. The priest lifted up a plate of bread and said, "Jesus welcomes everyone to his table. So we offer the bread and wine, which is Christ's body and blood, to everyone without exception." In Sarah's words, this is what happened next. "I put the piece of bread in my mouth, and I knew two things at the same time. One was that I was eating a regular piece of bread. And the second was that the God who I didn't believe in was alive and was in my mouth. It completely short-circuited me. All that I could do was stand there and cry and then run out as fast as I could before some Christian would try to talk to me. But I kept coming back after tasting that to find out what this experience was. I wanted it. I wanted more. I was hungry." After going back and building a relationship with this faith community, Sarah came to work for the same church as director of ministry and became the founder and director of the Food Pantry, a service that offers free and fresh groceries to 400 families every Friday around the altar at St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church. This story of an unexpected encounter with the living God reminds me so much of the story in Luke's gospel that we read together today. In this story, we hear of a shocking encounter with two random disciples we hadn't seen before. They are not part of the main 12 that journeyed with Jesus, nor are they of any particular significance outside of this one story. Yet it's to these two strangers that the resurrected Jesus appears, as a stranger himself, oddly enough. It's these two disciples that are journeying together, grieving, interpreting the scriptures, and sharing a meal together that the reality of resurrection is glimpsed but for a moment. We're sharing a very special meal together today with our friends and neighbors just down the street. Today, we are celebrating World Communion Sunday. This is a practice of faith communities around the world celebrating our oneness in Christ by taking part in the Lord's Supper together. According to the Presbyterian Mission Agency website, World Communion Sunday actually began at a Presbyterian church in Pittsburgh in 1933. Dr. Hugh Thompson Kerr was serving as pastor for Shadyside Presbyterian, where he thought of the idea as a way to emphasize and celebrate the importance of the Church of Jesus Christ and the interconnectedness of congregations. Dr. Kerr's son, who also became a pastor, recalled in an interview, "The concept spread very slowly. People did not give it a whole lot of thought. It was during World War II that the spirit really caught hold, because we were trying to hold the world together. Worldwide communion symbolized the effort to hold things together. It emphasized that we are one in the spirit and gospel of Jesus Christ." So just like the story from Luke about an encounter on the Emmaus Road, World Communion Sunday became a response born out of tremendous tragedy. After World War II, people everywhere were left trying to pick up the pieces, to hold the world together, and somehow recover from the terrible events that took place. The disciples were trying to interpret and grieve the events of Jesus' arrest and death. What were they to do now? They just invested their whole lives into following this man, the one they thought would be Israel's savior, the one they thought would finally bring about God's salvation for the Israelite people and for the whole world. And they saw him die. They saw him killed by the authorities. But now there are rumors from some of his disciples that the tomb is empty, that he was actually raised from the dead. What were they to make of all that? It's in the story of these two disciples that we see the story of the church as it still plays out today. We gather together as people of faith to share our stories and our experiences with each other. We grieve our hardships and losses. We interpret the scriptures alongside our experiences. We share meals and we gather around the table. And suddenly God shows up in our midst. Or rather, our eyes are opened to God's presence that was already there to begin with. We just couldn't recognize it. It's when Jesus shows up to join the disciples on their journey that they begin to interpret and respond to all the events that just took place in Jerusalem. The funny thing is, the disciples don't even realize what's happening until it's over. It's not until they sit down to break bread together that they realize this is Jesus, their teacher and friend, resurrected from the grave and dwelling in their midst. It's when Jesus suddenly disappears, they are given a glimpse of God's resurrection power and a new vigor and inspiration to go forth and proclaim their experiences to others. Like Sarah Miles, they decided they were not done yet. They wanted more. They wanted another taste of resurrection. They were given passion and power to start picking up the pieces and holding them together to keep the world from falling apart. So when we gather together as a community of faith around the table to share in the Lord's Supper, we do it with the same chance of the same thing happening to us. Our eyes being open to God's presence in our midst. We're offered the opportunity to be nourished and renewed as we take the journey of discipleship together. We're refreshed and given new passion to keep being the people God's called us to be in this world that desperately yearns for good news and resurrection. Just like Sarah Miles, we're offered an experience of the living God. Today, instead of journeying on the road to Emmaus, we're journeying together just a few blocks down the road to be in community with our sisters and brothers in Christ. This is a wonderful reminder for us, one, that we are not alone in discipleship, and two, an experience with the living God is not limited to the four walls of the church. It happens anytime and anywhere that we are the church together. And as the church, we're all chasing glimpses of Jesus in our midst. We're all figuring out how to hold the pieces together in a world that's on the brink of falling apart. But we need nourishment along the way. We need a direct experience or a reminder of past experiences that we have had with God. We need an assurance of God's promise to make all things new one day. This holy meal does that for us. So as we head out, as we walk together down the street, I encourage you to look around. Look around at the city of Richmond and consider, how is God calling me to love and serve this place? How is God resurrecting downtown Richmond and beyond? My friends, we are co-conspirers with God in this work. We're working with God as disciples of Jesus Christ to make this world more and more into the vision God sees it as. As we go forth from this place, may we always be asking God to open our eyes so we can see the world as God sees it, to see the extraordinary possibilities that lie ahead, and to see how God is already working right in our midst. May it be so. Amen. Let us pray. God of new life, we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered here as your church today. As we head out into the streets to be the church with others, we ask that you would open our eyes to your presence that's already in our midst. Open our eyes to the ways you are working in this world, that we might see the ways you're calling us to work alongside you. Nourish us and give us new passion to be your people in a world that needs good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.